The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. Lord, have mercy upon us.
Christ, have mercy upon us.
Lord, have mercy upon us, our Father, who art in heaven.
Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
O Almighty God, when the multitude of thy saints has surrounded us with so great a cloud of witnesses, grant that we, rejoicing in their fellowship, may run with patience the race that is set before us, and together with them may receive the crown of glory that fadeth not away. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
The starting line for this race that is set before us is holy baptism. The font is the beginning of our life as a Christian. It's the sacrament of initiation into the body of Christ, where we become living members of this communion of saints in this life and in the world to come. It's the sacrament of new birth. It's through the waters of baptism that we've been born again. It's the sacrament of adoption by grace through faith when God receives us as his beloved children. St. Paul, in writing to the church in Rome in the 8th chapter, says this about the significance of baptism. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. You have received the spirit of sonship. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is the Spirit himself bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. I often think it's a shame that so few of us remember anything at all about our baptism. This, of course, is because most of us were baptized as infants and we can't recall anything about the experience of it. The most we may have are maybe some pictures of it. I don't know of any pictures of my baptism. But most of us do not even know the date of our baptism, or can't recall it. Every year we celebrate our birthday, and it would be so unfitting not to have a celebration of our birthday. But we let our new birthday go by without thinking of it. As Christians, we should remember to celebrate our heavenly birthday. Our heavenly birthday is not really when we die. It's when we die to death and sin at the font and are born again to heavenly life. It's our new birthday. So do you know anything at all about who, what, when, or where of your baptism? It's when you became a saint with the little s. You're not the big S yet. A member of the household of God, an heir with Christ. So who were the saints that brought you to baptism? Can you name the priests or the minister of the sacrament who baptized you? As for me, in my growing years, I was brought up in an unchurched family. Though my mother's father and mother went to church with some regularity, the rest were simply unchurched. And my grandmother hardly ever missed church. My grandfather went when he was in the mood for it. He was a reluctant, occasional worshiper. It made her happy when he went. But on my father's side, I found out that they were what we call Holy Ghost Pentecostals. I didn't know it at the time. I thought all this just was a natural part of religious church life when I went with them to church from time to time. I never remember going to my grandparents' house without Billy Graham being on the TV. Black and white TV. I remember they loved Oral Roberts. Listened to him so faithfully. I remember seeing my grandmother put her hand on the radio from time to time to pray along with Oral Roberts for a healing of some sort or other. I don't know how old I was, but I do remember being taken by my grandparents to an Oral Roberts crusade under a tent with sawdust on the ground. I saw my grandfather, I didn't know it at the time, I saw my grandfather dance in the spirit, fall out on the ground, speaking in tongues, and people presumably being healed here, there, and everywhere, getting up out of wheelchairs, throwing away crutches, walking off. They'd been healed. Well, sometime in my early teens, I began to wonder if I'd been baptized as a baby. No one really talked about it, and my family didn't go to church. I don't think I ever saw my dad go to church, not even for a funeral. Funerals in those days were always at a funeral home or at the graveside. But when I asked about this of my maternal grandmother, she said, yes, I'd been baptized as a little baby at the church just down the road. Now, by down the road, we were out in the country in southern Ohio. We weren't near Cincinnati. We were near Batavia, which was near Warmsburg, which was near Afton, where I was born. And the little church down the road from my grandparents' farmhouse was still there when I went off to seminary and left Ohio for good. But I discovered that I had been baptized in that little, what was then a Methodist church. It's just called the Methodist Church of Afton. And when my mother died, about the year after my consecration as bishop, my sister was going through some of her things, and my gracious, guess what she pulled out? My certificate of baptism. And I read it, and I'm still impressed by what it says. I mean, this is a country preacher going from church to church. Maybe he had four or five churches. I don't know. I guess he was there every Sunday. I don't know anything about that. But I do know that I have a certificate here saying that I was baptized, guess this, on Easter Day. I never knew Methodist churches baptized on Easter. I thought just Episcopalians did that. But here it is, that I was presented for holy baptism, the solemn promise having been made that he shall be informed of the meaning and purpose of this holy sacrament and shall be instructed in the principles of our holy faith and the practice of the Christian life. And he shall be trained to receive, to give reverent attendance upon the public and private worship of God and the teaching of the word, in order that by precept and example, he may be led into the love of God and the service of our Lord Jesus Christ. He being baptized by me in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Spirit at the Methodist Church in Afton on Easter Sunday, April 9th, 1950. Signed, the Reverend Fred H. Russell, minister. I wonder if he knows whatever became and that little baby he baptized in that little country church on Easter Day in 1950. Years later, I found out that that little church was closed by the Methodist Church because it was just one too many stations to keep open, and everybody was told to go into town, Williamsburg. One stop sign, no traffic lights. But to go into town to the big church to save on money, well, my grandmother and grandfather and friends in the little village got upset about that, and guess what they did? They bought the church from the Methodists and continued on with it themselves. There was a board of elders who shared the preaching and the teaching, and it became an independent Bible church. And some years later, they sold that property, built a new church nearby called Bethany Chapel. And Bethany Chapel is still there to this day. Any childhood memories I have of church or religious teaching come down to the little Bethany Chapel and to going to what was called our vacation Bible school. Well, so much for my baptism. I remember thinking as a young boy how I got my name. I mean, you get your name in baptism. And I knew my name, but no one ever could tell me where it came from. Was it a patron saint? Methodists weren't born on saints' days. That's just Catholics. It turns out my middle name, Leo, was the middle name of my grandfather, the ones at the Afton Methodist Church. And he had one son and three daughters, and the only son he had, he named Leo Jr. And so I was given my grandfather's middle name and my only uncle's first name, Leo. Well, what a relief that my parents did not choose to give me my grandfather's first name. It was Ferry. F-E-R-R-Y. Ferry Leo. I've looked through the family histories. I can't find any Ferry in there. Pardon the pun. But what about my first name? I mean, Jack. My older brother, a year and a half older than I, was named John. It was John and Jack. President Kennedy was elected, and they called him a nickname, Jack, more formal, John. I had a hard time thinking that was my older brother's nickname. Why in the world did I get named Jack? Well, one afternoon as the family was going through old pictures, black and white photos, there it was. My grandfather had a favorite mule named Jack. I was named for a jackass and a grandfather. I had difficulty growing up. How wonderful that I saved the diocese for years praying for Ferry Leo, our bishop. It wasn't until my consecration, in fact, in 1993, that all this began coming back to me. Having a first name that was a nickname, having a middle name that was a saint's name. And so I resolved during my pre-consecration retreat that I would dedicate my episcopate to Pope Leo the Great, that he's the Bishop of Rome in the 5th century, one of the few popes to be named the Great. And I took him as the patron saint for my episcopal ministry. And it just so happened that my ordination to the priesthood occurred on the eve of St. Leo the Great. So in 1974, I had been ordained on that feast day. Well, in the quiet time that finishes this meditation, I'd like you to give thanks for your godparents. You probably don't remember who they are. You may. I'd like you to give thanks for the grandparent who held out and insisted that you be baptized. Without them, I wouldn't have been baptized. But because of them, I received the sacrament of grace and new birth and was born again and became a child of God. I thank God for the Reverend Fred H. Russell. I thank God for Genevieve Chase, who is the persistent voice for Christian truth and teaching, the only voice in my family and all the years I grew up. How blessed I was that in spite of the fact she was very confused about why I had become an Episcopalian, she came to my ordination as a deacon and my ordination as a priest, but did not live long enough for me to become a bishop. But in the time that you have to reflect, give thanks for the priest who baptized you. What a wonderful gift he gave you. He made you a child of God and a saint. But beyond that, dear brothers, give thanks for the baptisms you've done over the years. What a tremendous difference you have made as you baptize little infants that you could hardly hold with just one arm or one hand, and baptize children, some of them screaming and crying and protesting about it and fighting it all the way. I've had to have the help of more than one godparent holding the child to be forcefully baptized. Or to those that you have baptized as adults, sometimes overcome with emotion and tears coming down their cheeks as they're forgiven and made a child of God. By your hands, by the waters of baptism that you've blessed, you've given spiritual cleansing and forgiveness of sin, the gift of the Holy Spirit, gift of new birth. What a privilege, what a joy to be baptized, but even more so, to be a baptizer. Let us pray. O God of peace, who hast taught us that in returning and rest we shall be saved, in quietness and confidence shall be our strength, by the might of thy Spirit lift us, we pray thee, to thy presence, where we may be still, and know that thou art God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.